I'm thinking about joining Facebook. I've never been on it, but Paul and Thelma sent me an email telling me on Facebook they heard about Ed and Judy. And she kept me informed. And one evening, my daughter called me. And she read it on Facebook, and she knows Les Booth. So she thought if she knew Les Booth, she ought to know Ed and Judy. So she wanted to know if I thought. I said, well, you don't know Ed and Judy, but she does know Les Booth. They went to church together many years ago, and they were good friends. So I even said this this morning that I was talking to people that I think I'll get on Facebook. It looks like I get more information about the church from Facebook than I do through the church. But Ed and Judy went to church in Lafayette. Of course, they went here for a long time. So I guess it was on the Lafayette website, but I'm not on the Lafayette website. But I got another email from Thelma, and I knew it was bad, but they said they just put Ed up, I think this was yesterday, in a chair for 15 minutes. And that was great. And I thought, up in a chair, 15 minutes is great. So he's got seriously hurt, and he really needs our prayers. We just finished keeping Pentecost, and we heard about the first fruits being called. And I want to continue on that subject. And I see our sermonette man continued on that subject. But Miss Dana, I always get out the old correspondence course, and I look and read it. And I was reading that, and I run across the statement that says, God is now calling only a few. I thought, well, is that true? That's what Mr. Armstrong said. So do we just believe Mr. Armstrong, or we do what he tells us to do? Believe the book. Prove it in the book. So what I want to do, I want to show you that right now, God is now only calling a few. Turn to Genesis 3:22. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put his forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and he would live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned the way of life, to keep the way of the tree of life from him. So they didn't want Adam and Eve to take the tree of life and then have the Holy Spirit living in that carnal nature. So the Holy Spirit was actually denied Adam and Eve. It wasn't given to them. Now, the Holy Spirit really wasn't given to the bigger group until the second Adam came along. And turn to John 16. When the second Adam came along, the Holy Spirit wasn't offered to the church until Christ died and was resurrected and ascended to heaven. So let's look in here and see if that's true. John 16, verse 7. I better get to 16 and not 14. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now here it's expedient for you that I go away. Jesus was saying, I must go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send it unto you. Then look at verse 13. Howbeit then, when it, the Spirit of truth, is come. So we see the Comforter is the Spirit of truth. It shall guide you into all truth. So the Spirit gives us the truth, and as the sermon was brought out, we need to let that Spirit come in us and surrender to it. So there, now turn to John 15, verse 26. It says, but when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, and he shall testify of me. So we're again showing that the Comforter is the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit. Now turn to chapter 14. And in verse 60, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that it may abide with you forever. For the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Everybody claims that they had the Holy Spirit, but the world cannot do that. So here we see that the Comforter, that God said, Jesus said he had to go and leave before he would come back, and that we pray that for God would send the Comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit wasn't given to Israel as a whole, except for the prophets. And for what purpose was that? Turn to Ephesians. And we'll see if the Bible says the prophets had the Holy Spirit and what the purpose was. But Israel was denied the Holy Spirit. They put them out of the Garden of Eden so they wouldn't eat of the Spirit and have a carnal mind and live forever. In Ephesians 2, in verse 19, he says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, through whom all of the building, now fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord. In him you are also built together in a habitation through the Spirit." So God is building a temple. But you would notice that the prophets and the apostles and Jesus Christ laid the foundation of the church. Now we're basically sitting interested right now in the prophets. So the prophets helped lay the foundation of the church that is being built now, and it's the foundation, and we're part of that church. Let's see what else they were called for. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. It's of which the salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come. So here the prophets in the Old Testament, they knew about the grace that should come. They knew about Christ. In fact, you could actually preach about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. But look at verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. So the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets in the Old Testament. He created the world. He created them. He was the God of the Old Testament. But God chose a certain people, the prophets, to give them the Spirit. Israel did not have it. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Now here's what the prophets with the Spirit, they knew about the sufferings of Christ. They knew about the glory that should be fought, that should follow. So here we have the prophets were said that they talked about Christ, they talked about his suffering, they talked about his resurrection, because they talked about his glory and the glory that should follow. Now turn to Acts. Chapter 3. Verse 18. But those things which God had before showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, and he had also fulfilled that. So all of the prophets, not just a few, all of the prophets knew that Christ would suffer. And then it goes on to say, they knew that you should repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. So here Christ should be received until it's time for him to set up his kingdom, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. All of the prophets in the Old Testament knew about Christ, knew about the restitution, knew about the resurrection. Now, in verse 24, yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that followed afterward, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So you see, in the Old Testament, they knew about Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They was only given physical promises. If when they obeyed the laws of God by the letter of the law, God prospered them. When they didn't obey the letter, they went into captivity. But the prophets preached Jesus Christ and his glory. Now, to show how much they did know, turn to Acts 2. And look at verse 29. It says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that had the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. David knew, being a prophet and having the Holy Spirit, that Christ would be born through his lineage, and he would die, and he would resurrect, and he would sit on David's throne. So, when Christ comes back, David's throne must exist. That's something we haven't talked about much. It'd be another thing to give a sermon on. So David's throne exists today. And when Christ returns, he's going to raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Then he goes on in verse 31, and he said, seeing this before, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his life was not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. David knew that Christ would be born, that he would die, and that he would be resurrected. In verse 32, this Jesus had raised up, we are all witnesses, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. So again, David knew he would be exalted, sat on the right hand of God. He knew he would return in his glory, and they also would know about our glory. And then in verse 34, for David is not ascended to the heavens, but he said unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So he knew that God, Jesus was sitting on his right hand, until I make the foe my footstool. So we see the prophets who laid the foundation actually knew all about Jesus Christ. They knew about his coming. They knew about his death. They knew about his resurrection. And what did they preach? Well, I'll give you the subject here in a little bit. Ancient Israel, as a whole, was never offered the Holy Spirit. They were given his laws. They were denied his spirit. God gave proof, though, through Israel, that without God's spirit, humanity is helpless. So the purpose of Israel in the Old Testament, you look back, without God's Spirit, they are doomed. But will they have a time to be saved? We'll see that in the New Testament here in a little bit. They knew about God. They could appeal to Him, but they couldn't keep His Holy Spirit. They couldn't keep His law spiritually. But they could keep Him by the letter of the law. Now, when Christ came the first time, was it to set up His kingdom? Turn to John 18. In verse 33, we'll read the last part of it there. Pilate said, are thou a king of the Jews? And in verse 36, Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. For now, as my kingdom is not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto them, art thou a king then? And he said, Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world. So he came into the world to become a king, but not at that time. He had to die and be resurrected, and then come back. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now when I read that, I come to think about how we understand this Bible. I had a neighbor of mine to tell me that the universe, he knew God exists because the universe was mathematically perfect. And I said to myself, well then, to keep this book right shouldn't be too big of a job, could it? Since he created the whole universe, and now I read the other day we're finding more planets out there. If God can do all that, and we have to know exactly when we send a man to the moon, it has to be mathematically perfect, so we will send him off at the right time and be there. So if they can do that, then this has to be the truth. And here it says, though, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You have to believe this word is truth. Now, for some of you younger people, what I used to do when I heard something I didn't understand, I parked it over here. And when I heard something I did understand, I parked it over here. And then later on, I would learn something, I'd pick it up and move it over here. And I told a guy that this morning, and he said he was leaning like this. He didn't tell me whether it was the side that was loaded or the side that wasn't loaded, but I'm going to ask him after services. But he said he his kingdom was not of this world. He didn't come to restore Satan or to restrain Satan from the world, from deceiving this world. Let's understand why. Turn to Matthew 13. And some of these verses, I remember going through studying them years ago, but I haven't went through them lately. But when I was reading this on the Pentecost, it always helps me to go back and get whatever lesson is there and get an old lesson. And let me tell you how old you want to get it. I seen something, and I think it was the days of unleavened bread. And I took it to a person. I said, see, it says in here it's all right to miss one day of eating, not eating unleavened bread. And that person looked at me and said, when was that written? 1986. After Mr. Armstrong was gone. So things were beginning to change when Mr. Armstrong died. One minister told me when I went to the first meeting after that happened, he said things started to change the very next day. Not a week later, not a month later, but it happened so slowly that they just slowly fed us the wrong things. But then I went back and got an old correspondence course, and it didn't say that in there. No. But I never could understand why somebody would not want to eat unleavened bread. I bought it. I got it. I like it. You know, why would I want to miss it one day? What would ever cause me so much time that I couldn't pick up a piece of leaven and never would need it? But we want to slide, sometimes start slide away and go the other direction. Matthew 13:10. He just started giving them a parable. And the disciples came in verse 10 and said, why do you speak us through in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. God did not reveal it to all the people of that time. You remember how many that was actually converted when after Jesus died? Or not after he died, but after 120. That's only it. Jesus only got through to 120 people. Now, I've tried more than that. I've had no success. And from this, as I learn more and more, there's no reason to try and convert anybody. They can't understand it because it wasn't given to them. And of course, I tried to convert a few people. It didn't work. But and I about lost a wife over it. So then I learned to shut up. And then I tell a few of you people. In fact, I have a person here that come. He went to Darius McNeely. And Darius sent him to me and said, my wife wasn't in the church. So go talk to Gordon. And he come up and talked to me, and he asked me one day, he said, you know what the first two words of me were? I said, no. He said, you told me to shut up. He come up and asked me, he said, his wife's not in the church, what should I do? I told him, shut up. You know, you're not going to convert anybody. They can't see it. Their mind is closed. It only gives the Holy Spirit, but you have to believe the Bible is truth. Now, some churches, and I'm going to mention Jack and Joyce, their son is in a church. He's a minister. They don't believe in the book of Revelation. Luther thought the book of James or the book of straw. They do not believe the whole Bible is right. So when you don't understand something, then men try and interpret it. Because right here, it starts with disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? I was told when I was in a Methodist church to make you understand it. But they didn't read the next part of it. It's given it to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, what is all the parables about? The kingdom of God. I was in church from the time I was 19 to 35 years old, and I don't ever remember hearing about the kingdom of God. I knew I was going to go to heaven, and my brother and all them were going to go to hell. You know, I stopped and think about that. Why would I think that way? I mean, you've got it to where you're only worried about self. We now know that the whole world's going to have an opportunity, and I'll show you that in a minute. So he didn't come to set up his kingdom. He didn't come to restrain them. He told them parables. Was this because it wasn't the time for man to be saved? Only his disciples understood. Of all the talking that Jesus did, only his disciples understood. Jesus only wants a few specially called, chosen, and servants. Now remember, when we started this, Michael's the servant, Mr. Armstrong made a comment, God is now only calling a few. And that's the people in the Old Testament with the prophets. The people in the New Testament is one that God calls and gives the Holy Spirit to. Not anybody that claims to find God, and we'll see why they can't do that. Now, let's turn to 1 Peter 4:17. I got my pages marked. And all of you beat me there. James 4:17. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. The only people that are being judged right now is those who are in the church. The prophets laid the foundation. God is calling people and giving the Holy Spirit. We are to develop the holy, righteous, perfect character. Now, I gave a Bible study not long ago. Mr. Armstrong always said, you have to develop holy, righteous, perfect character. So I tried to find that verse. You can't find all that in one verse. But in Ephesians 4, it says, you are being created in righteousness and true holiness. That's how you're being created, and I'm created. And then it says, be perfect because He is perfect. So we're to develop. You know, I went through the Bible study showing the Bible does say that we have to develop holy, righteous, perfect character. And that Jesus Christ is creating that in us. We do not have it. He's creating it. But right now, only the church is being judged. So in the Old Testament, God called the prophets. It's the only one He gave the Spirit to. It tells you that in the New Testament. To lay the foundation of the church. Then in the New Testament, He only calls His first fruits into the church. And then to give them the Holy Spirit. Now turn to John 15. And let's look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I ordained you that you go forth and bring more fruit. Did you realize that? You did not choose God. You did not choose Jesus Christ. Now, if I've come to any one thing that any of us might do, you have to believe the Bible is true. Now, hold that place right there. We'll be back. Turn to John 4. And let's see what God is doing right now. And has been doing. John 4. And verse 22. You worship and you know, and you know not what. We know that what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But next verse, but the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What is truth? John 17:17. God's word is truth. Now look at the last part of this. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is looking down, and He don't say, oh, look at all those people out there that want to follow me. He's looking down, searching to seek who will follow Him, who will believe Him in spirit and in truth. For in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We must have that Holy Spirit that was brought about in the sermonette, and what we're showing today, that the New Testament church received the Holy Testament, the Holy Spirit, and we're to worship Him with that spirit in truth. The Bible is truth. And if you don't understand a certain part of it, park it over here, or here if you're left-handed, whatever it suits you. But park it on one side until you understand. And I remember coming home one night, and my wife and I was out to a show or something, and the Plain Truth was there, and I picked it up, and I sat on the couch reading it. And that verse in Matthew, it says, the first way you're going to be saved, some will come in my name saying, I'm Christ. I always thought that verse, some people would come saying they were Christ. And then all of a sudden it hit me. It says, some will come in my name saying, preaching Christ. And you know, then I picked it up and moved it over here. And look around, how many people are preaching Jesus Christ? Are they preaching the truth? Are they preaching that you have to have the Holy Spirit? And in John 15, we was looking at verse 16. Have not chosen me? God has chosen you and me. And you look at verse 4 and 5. Now let's look at verse 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. So when we go through trials and so forth, we are being purged to bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How are you clean? Through the word which he speaks to you. Now, I understand, when I went to Chicago, I went to a Moody Memorial Church, I think it was, and I only remember one thing it was said. He said, if you keep reading the word, it's like a bucket. You pour water into a bucket, you might not retain it, but it cleans the bucket. So, as the word goes in here and out here, you have to keep reading it to keep your mind, and you've got to have the mind of Christ. So here it says, if now you are clean through the word. If you're not reading God's Bible every day, or every other day, or making a big effort to study and develop the mind of Christ, you're not going to be clean as God wants you to be. In verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you if you don't abide in Jesus Christ. So it's not your righteousness. It has to be God's righteousness. You have to. All you got to do is one of my favorite verses. Give this body to Romans 12:1 as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. All you have to do is come out of the world. All you have to do is surrender. When God tells you to do something, you do it. I am the vine, in verse 5, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you are nothing. So it's not you that's doing it. Paul said that Christ lived him in. That's what is happening to you. Turn to John 6:44, and here's the verse that Mr. Armstrong used so much. And all of us should know what it is even before we turn there. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We didn't find Christ. I read the Bible from the time I was 19 till I was 35 years old. And then all of a sudden, I said, this Bible must be right. If he can create the universe perfect, he can create this. So God said, well, let's give him a test. Keep the Sabbath. So a minister came and visited me, and after he left, he called back 3 months later. He said, you keeping the Sabbath yet? And I said, no. 3 months later, he came back and stopped at Emil's house and called me. You keeping the Sabbath yet? And I said, no. It was a year. God says, he's a little slow, Gordon was. But he said, if you say to you believe this word is true and you prove the Sabbath was right, then keep it. But what my mind tells me to do and what my body wants to do is not always the same thing. But I finally surrendered and started keeping the Sabbath. So no man can come to him unless God draws you. So you have done nothing. Now the first fruits are called, and I read this in the Bible, in this Bible correspondence course, and it really hit me. The first fruits are called for a special mission, like the prophets before us. So God called David and Samuel and all the prophets, and he calls you the same way for a special mission. We're called just like the prophets. So then why do we try and I'm talking to me now, why do we try and convert people? When we are called, we can't do anything. We have to have the Holy Spirit of God, and he has to open our mind. We are called to establish the kingdom of God on this earth and offer salvation to the majority. And this, I got a guy that worked for me, and I told him the other day, I didn't understand when I was in the church, the love of God, and everybody went to hell and burned if you didn't believe in Jesus Christ. That's a loving God. You know, none of my relation would be in heaven. Maybe my sister might have made it. That'd be according to the regulation. But now, I will get there to teach them. When they're resurrected, I'll be able to say that I told you so. You know. I better not do that one. I better let them find out on their own. But the whole world, the plan of salvation, the last great day. It's great to understand God's plan. Now, so the whole world is cut off from access to the Spirit of salvation, except for the prophets in the Old Testament, and except for the ones that God has called in the New Testament and gives you His Holy Spirit. That's why the church does not convert anyone. Only God can do that. Now, I've always thought one day, after I tried to change, I wasn't trying to change my wife. I didn't want to go to feast by myself. I wanted her to be with me, and I wanted to share it with her. But I should have realized, and I thought at some time I ought to got all the old plain truths out and looked how far back that Mr. Armstrong told me to shut up. I bet it would have been pages and pages and pages. You can't convert anybody. Only God can do that. But the church and the ministry does make God's way easy to understand for those He is calling. And I only have two people that I know that listen to what I said. One of them was a cousin of mine, and some of you would know her down in what was the church down south? Claffey was the last name. You knew Claffey. Yeah. And the reason I got to talk to her is because her father died and she thought he went to hell. So I went down there one day, and believe now, this is what I did. It's hard to understand. I went down there one day. I went to see her about every two or three weeks. My wife and I went down. I had two children. They had two children. And we really enjoyed being there. And she was the one person that, when we went there, she didn't buy pork bacon. She tried to do things the way we wanted to do them. So I went down there this time, and I had all the booklets on, you don't go to hell when you die. But I stayed there all Saturday, all Sunday, and I didn't say nothing. I was ready to leave Sunday afternoon. And she brought it up. And then we went back in the house, and I started showing her the scripture. Now, you get this, she was asking me. I wasn't volunteering. See, I only volunteer when you don't want to hear it. She even told me later she got mad at me because I wouldn't keep telling her. I would tell her a little bit. You want any more? I'd tell her a little bit more. I'd tell her a little bit more. And why I did that there and I didn't do it otherwise, I don't know. But that's it. She came into the church, but she found out that her father didn't go to hell. But she asked all the questions. Now, if God wanted everybody to understand, everybody would understand. I mean, He's a great God. He can do anything He wants. But hardly no one understands and won't till Christ returns. We are called out to know now a knowledge of the mystery of the kingdom of God that your brothers and sisters and neighbors and people that work with you do not know and will not know until Christ returns. Now, in Matthew 28,19 and 20, here's what the disciples were taught, here's what we are taught. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and preach, teach all nations. And this is why we, Mr. Armstrong, we preach as a witness. And right now, we have a lot of people that's left the church that are preaching the kingdom of God. You go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. So, what we are, we're being trained to become kings and priests, to know God's law, to have His Holy Spirit, and that we will be able to teach people in the world tomorrow. Not today. We'll get an excellent time to do it. Now, are we really called for a special purpose? And if so, what is it? Was the Holy Spirit only given to the prophets of Israel and the rest who denied it? Is it only given to us? Was Israel spiritually blinded? Turn to Romans. Chapter 10. here it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. In verse 18, it says, but I say, have they not heard it? Yes, truly they have. So he said, Israel did not obey. Had they heard it? Yes. Look in verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I looked up the word gainsaying years ago, and it says speak against, to deny God, refuse to have anything to do with it. So Israel would, they have a leader, they would obey. When the leader was gone, they didn't obey. We had a leader, everybody followed Mr. Armstrong. Then when the other man came up, everybody, not everybody, started following him. But you're supposed to live by every word of God. And I have been accused, and I mentioned this before, I have been accused of following Mr. Armstrong. And you're right. He said to believe the book. Don't believe him. So right now we're going through that process. He said that only a few were called. And we went through Genesis showing that Israel was not called. Now we're going to see, when is God going to do the calling? Look at chapter 11. I say that. Now remember, they, at verse 21, the last one, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. If God didn't give them the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and didn't call them, has he cast them away? Is he done with them? He says, God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham. God has not cast away his people. In verse 2. Now, look in verse 7 and 8. Romans 7 and 8. What then? Verse 7. Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And this has really been on, it's on my mind. I stop to think now, I'm the only God that called me and you and not the rest of the world. All of Israel was not called, just the prophets. And you were called like the prophets were. So here in verse 8, according to it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they could not hear until this day. So they can't hear, they can't understand, they can't understand it. Is God going to give Israel a future opportunity to receive salvation, or is he going to send them to hell and burn forever? Well, turn over to verse 25. Now he's talking to us. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. We should not be ignorant of this. Lest any of you would be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. God has deliberately blinded them until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Then in verse 26, and so all Israel, God's going to offer all Israel an opportunity. All Israel shall be saved. That is written. There's a deliverer that comes out of Zion. No, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So when Christ comes, he is going to end up in verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them, I shall take away their sins. So God is going to teach Israel, when he comes back, he's going to, the ones that are still living, we're going to go to Israel, deliver them out of all they've been taught. Now, what about those that are dead? What about everybody that are dead? Look at verse 11 in chapter 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation cometh to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. For if the fall of them, Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their full inclusion? How's he going to do it? Look at verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be? Life from the dead. All of Israel is going to be resurrected. And we know from keeping the holy days that there'll be a 1,000-year reign, then the rest of the dead will be resurrected. Everybody is not called now, but we are called, and we are being judged, and we do understand it. All Israel will then be saved. Now, let's look at verse, we're going to see what your job is. Verse 30. For as in the times past, you have not believed God. Now, see, there was a time that you didn't believe God. And even at the time when I was 19 till I was 35, I still didn't believe in the real God. I didn't believe the God of this Bible. I didn't believe the truth of this Bible. I bought what I was taught. And that, I want to show you how the world has programmed people. I've got a 24-year-old man that works for me. He doesn't. He said he might believe in God, but he really doesn't. He takes his kid to church because his mother wants him to go. He don't want to stay in there any longer than he has to. He's never went to church, and he's never been taught anything. You know, I thought. Except I showed him a verse when he was talking one day. David has not ascended to the heavens. Now, here's a guy that knows nothing about religion. And he says, but his spirit has. A person that never gone to church is being programmed to know that you have this spirit that goes to heaven. But I thought he didn't know anything. But he knows that. He was taught that. In times past, in verse 30, you have not believed God. None of you. All of us have been blinded, and we did not believe in a real God. Yet, you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. So God has given us mercy through Israel's unbelief, so blinding them, we are having salvation. Now look at verse 31. Even so, here's your job now, even so have these also now not believed, the ones that haven't believed now, that through your mercy, they may obtain mercy. Your mercy. When you're resurrected and you have the body of Christ and you have the mind of Christ and you're going to be ruling with Christ, it's going to be through your mercy that they're going to be offered salvation. And look at verse 32. For God has included that all in unbelief. That includes us. We didn't believe until we were showing God's word, until God opened your eyes. And when God opens your eyes, and then you continue to search, then we are being trained through our mercy. Now, if that's true, we ought to have a little mercy today. We are developing God's mercy. Now, those called now have to overcome Satan and his society and our carnal mind. And that's, God is calling you out of Satan's world, and you're only going to be made a spirit being if we can overcome Satan. We continue to surrender our will to God's will. In Revelation 3:21, it says, to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and I sat down with my Father on his throne. So if we overcome, we'll get to sit on David's throne, which exists here today. And we will have it. And in Philippians, it says, this final body will be changed like his glory, his glorious body. 1 John 3, I think it is, says when he returns, I don't know what he'll be like, but I know I will be like him, because I'll see him as he is. Now, why people don't read that? Well, yes, I know why. They're blinded. They can't see it. They don't know it, and they can't understand it. So, back to the very first. Only a few are called out. Israel had never had the Holy Spirit. Never their eyes were opened. The prophets knew about the kingdom of God. They knew about Jesus Christ. They knew he would come and suffer and die and be resurrected. And he was on the right hand of God. And they know he would return and sit on David's throne. One more. One thing I forgot. Let's go to Zechariah 14. I want to be sure you're included on this. Zechariah 14. Verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord comes. So we have a day of the Lord. Look at verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. And then if you look in Acts 2, that said, he said, why stand there watching where Jesus left? He left the Mount of Olives and he's going to come back to the same place. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. And look at the last part of verse 5. And the Lord thy God shall come, and all the saints are going to come with him. That word saint is the word holy. God wants you to become holy. we are to develop His holy, righteous, perfect character. And when Christ comes, all of the ones that overcome and get to sit on the throne with Him, all the saints will be with Him. Look at verse 9. Now this is Old Testament. This is a prophet. What did he know and understand? And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. And verse 11. And man shall dwell in it, in Jerusalem. There shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And then if you look at verse 17. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King and the Lord of hosts, upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, there will be no rain. Wherein the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to be there teaching them the holy days. And we want to, if He overcomes until the end, we'll make it. So let's realize that you are called special. We are called just like the prophets in the Old Testament for a specific job, and we are called for a specific job in the kingdom of God.